Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
It's Daffodil Day, one of the biggest fundraising events for the Irish Cancer Society. It's an absolutely fantastic cause. I'm sure you're going to see many volunteers out and about today across the length and breadth of Ireland, selling, of course, the Daffodil badges. But Irish and Bristol City footballer Chloe Mustaki was just 19 years of age when she was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma. And Chloe is with us here on the show. Chloe, how did your diagnosis come about, first of all?
So I was away playing with the Irish team only about a month before my diagnosis. And I just didn't feel right. I mean, obviously at that age, the idea of cancer doesn't even come into your head. But I just thought I had trained quite a lot ahead of the tournament. Anyway, we made it to the semi-finals. I was captain. I was high on life despite potentially underperforming. Came home, headed to the GP just to renew a prescription. And he took my blood routinely, as he does every now and again. And within 24 hours, he called me back and said, you know, something's come up. Are you free to come in, you know, tomorrow? I'm going to take another set of bloods. And yeah, it's rapidly escalated from there, really.
Yeah. When you went in that day and sat down for the second appointment, Chloe, with the GP, and you know, and for him to take the second set of bloods, I'm sure the word cancer was nowhere near the front of your mind.
No, it wasn't. I don't think at that point he had really said much to me. I think once he got the second set of bloods back, my mum came in with me. He sat down ahead of sending me for a chest x-ray and said, you know, this is potentially what we're dealing with. But even then, I mean, like, I couldn't believe that that would be the case. So, you know, it was, yeah, it was definitely not what I thought would be heading my way coming home from those finals.
Sure. 19. Fit as a fiddle, you know, like you're training more than anyone, the average person at all. Like, it must have come, Chloe, as such a huge shock to you and your family.
Yeah, it was a massive shock. But it just goes to show, no matter what age you are, you have to listen to your body. And if something is up, it's worth following it up. So, yeah, I mean, it all from there. And if anything, it's kind of taught me a lesson, as I said, to kind of just listen to your body. We're so aware of our bodies, and if anything is abnormal or different, we kind of react quite quickly on that. So
yeah.
It stood to me to this day.
Tell us about the routine that you then started on after getting the official diagnosis, Chloe.
Yeah, so things moved pretty quickly. I got my treatment in St. James's, so I was there, met the consultant, and they took a biopsy. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, but they had to, I suppose, get a biopsy to make sure what type of lymphoma it was. So that happened, and then, God, within a couple of weeks, I was starting my treatment. And what did that look like? It was basically a course, IV treatment once every 2 weeks over the course of 6 months. So it was 12 sessions, pretty heavy going, lots of changes to my body. I lost my hair, I experienced a lot of nausea. And yeah, I mean, most of all, I stepped away from everything that I knew at that age. No socializing, going out, playing football for both Ireland and club.
Well, that's the thing, playing international football, like, you know, peak fitness. Just an absolute bolt out of the blue.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it just tells you that anyone can get hit by cancer. Unfortunately, one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer in our lives. So it is unfortunately the reality. Obviously, the likes of the Irish Cancer Society and other organisations are doing their best to fund research, you know, with everyone's generosity. Yeah, it is unfortunately the reality for us nowadays, but the research is coming on a lot. And for the likes of myself, although it was a grueling treatment, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I've been living a pretty normal life the past 10 years, despite the diagnosis back then.
Yeah. So and the treatment. Sorry, was that like a chemotherapy treatment, Chloe?
Yeah. Fortunately, I didn't have to get anything else in terms of radio or any further form of treatment. It was just I headed in as an outpatient to the hospital once every 2 weeks for a number of hours on an IV chemo.
You're 10 years on.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel, yeah. Chloe?
God, it's hard to reflect. It feels like it was only a few years ago still. I think it's something that will live with me for the rest of my life. You know, it's taught me a lot of lessons. It's also probably given me not a slightly darker outlook on life, but it's just changed me in many ways. But it's allowed me to have a lot of perspective. You know, as an athlete, you suffer injuries, and I've been unfortunate as well to suffer some longer term ones. So just throughout those experiences, it's allowed me to have some perspective, enjoy the finer things. And even the smaller things day to day. So, you know, it changes you, but for the good and the bad.
Yeah. How soon after you finished treatment did you get back involved with the Irish setup and back playing again, Chloe?
I returned to club actually pretty quickly, maybe within kind of 6 to 8 weeks. I was back on the pitch, which was great. Good boost for me mentally and physically. With regards to the Irish team, like, there's quite a big jump between the under-19s and the senior team. So it did take me a few years to bridge that gap. One, obviously, because there's a lot of girls competing, but B, obviously, because my body had gone through quite a difficult grueling 6 months. So between finishing up my under-19s career and getting my first senior cap, it was a good few years.
Did you ever think, though, back then, you know, when you cast your mind back now, Chloe, and I know in recent days you've been talking about your experience and your cancer journey a lot, you know, through media interviews in the last number of days. But did you ever think back then when you were going through all of that, that you would be heading off 10 years later, you know, to a World Cup with the Irish squad?
No, I definitely didn't. You know, when you're faced with something like that, you're only thinking about the here and now. So it was, you know, drop everything, focus on the task at hand, which was, you know, making myself as physically able to endure that treatment, which was pretty tough. But to be honest, I think if you speak to any of the other girls, I don't think any of them would have imagined themselves going to a World Cup, just because 10 years ago, both women's football and Irish women's football was nowhere near where it is today. So it just goes to show, when a bit of funding is put into the women's game, you know, what can happen.
I know a lot of the reason, you know, you're very keen to raise awareness, Chloe, and to share your story, was the point you made at the very outset, is that, you know, even you're somebody at a young age, peak fitness levels, at the height of your game, and unfortunately anybody can be, you know, receive the news that you got of a cancer diagnosis, and I know that's why you were very keen to raise awareness about this.
Yeah, I mean, for myself, getting that diagnosis is extremely difficult, but I was one of the lucky ones. You know, I got told, the reality was I was most likely going to return to a normal life after this treatment. It was going to be a difficult process, but the statistics show that I would live a long, happy life afterwards. But for a lot of people, that's not the case. And I can't even imagine getting worse news than what I got back then. So I'm, you know, more than happy to try and raise awareness, try and raise funds. We need further research into having a better prognosis for other cancers. And as well as that, some of the services that the likes of the Irish Cancer Society provide for those going through cancer treatment are fantastic. And that was a massive thing for me when I was going through treatment. Having the support of my family, having availability of counselling sessions to help me through even reintegrating into normal life after. There's so much more to just a simple diagnosis and cancer treatment that people who have not, fortunately, been touched by it could even imagine.
No.
So it's not only about you know, research and the drugs to help fight cancer, it's everything else that those amazing charities provide.
Stay with us, Chloe, because Georgie Crawford, who's the host of the Good Glow podcast and wellness advocate, and an old colleague of mine here as well in News Talk, is with us on the line. Because Georgie, I suppose very similarly to Chloe, you're somebody who is now really dedicated, I would say, the last 5 or 6 years of your life to raising awareness about cancer and cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, I think, first of all, hi, and Chloe, you were spoke so beautifully there. I was diagnosed when I was 32, so it was the shock of my life. And I guess when I was diagnosed, I didn't know anybody else my age who had breast cancer, apart from people like Kylie Minogue and yeah. people that I'd heard in the news. So I didn't know anybody. I couldn't share my story with anybody. And in my recovery, as I started to get better and I started to improve my life drastically, I remember thinking, like, I have to share my story to maybe give another young girl or another young mum who's just had a baby and has been diagnosed with breast cancer at least hope that they can get their life back someday.
That's been a big, I know, focus of yours for the past number of years. But when you got your diagnosis, you were in the early days of motherhood, Georgie, at that stage.
Yeah, Pia was 7 months old at the time. So, you know, I didn't feel well in the lead up to my diagnosis. And I suppose I was ignoring the signs because I was so wrapped up in being a first-time mum yeah. that I thought all the feelings that I was having were supposed to be normal. So I'd look in the mirror and I was like, I didn't recognise myself anymore. My skin was different. My hair was different. My nails were breaking. I felt absolutely exhausted. But I just thought, this is how you're
seven-month-old
baby.
And
instead of going to the GP and just putting up my hand and saying, like, am I supposed to feel like this? Or maybe I should get a, you know, some blood work done. I just focused everything on my baby and I put myself last. And I was so lucky that I found a lump in my breast one night in the middle of the night, and where it was kind of sticking out of my chest. So I was really lucky. I wasn't breast aware. So I kept thinking, like, if my lump wasn't there, if it was deeper into my breast, would I ever have found it? Like, it never dawned on me to ask my GP for a breast check. I was so on top of my smear tests and all the things I thought I was supposed to be doing, but absolutely not breast aware in any way.
Your treatment went on for a period of time as well, Georgie.
Yeah, I had 5 months of chemotherapy. Quite quickly after I was diagnosed, I had 2 surgeries and I went straight into a round of IVF. So I remember Pia was sitting on my lap, you know, 8 months old, and I was injecting myself for IVF and I just couldn't get over my life. I was like, how is this happening to me? But every single day I put one foot in front of the other. And actually, not to sound crazy, but when I was told I'd need 5 months of chemotherapy, I sat myself down and I said, I'm going to welcome this chemotherapy into my body. I'm not going to hate it. I'm going to wake up every day and accept the help and put my best foot forward. So I really feel like that helped in my journey, just being open to the process and trusting that it was bringing me somewhere. And at the time, I didn't know where it was bringing me, and I hoped that one day it would become clear. And I'm so happy to say that all the answers did come to me, and I've never looked back, thank God.
Is five or six years, Georgie, on now?
I'm six years.
Six, yeah.
On from it now, yeah.
And how are you feeling?
You know, I have good days and bad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm triggered. But I run half marathons.
Oh, sure.
Now.
I met you at the airport in JFK in New York. I was going over for Paddy's weekend, and there was Georgie with all her crew from the Good Glow podcast there to run the half marathon.
Yeah.
So you're flying fit.
Well, we brought 150 people over to run the New York half marathon.
Yeah,
with
us. Was amazing.
It's moments like that when you're running through Times Square and you're just so grateful to be alive, but also so grateful for what awful time in my life has brought to my life. And every day I wake up, I'm so grateful to be alive. I look at the world in such a different way. So for anyone listening who may be on the way to the hospital, on the way home from hospital, keep the faith, accept the help, trust the process. And there's so many people out there to support you.
I wanted to just ask you about that, Georgie, because I suppose in the past 6 years, you know, in getting over your illness and moving on with family life, you know, in many ways, you really turned it into a positive story.
Well, I think I shared my story, and I know everybody's different and some people don't want to share their story, and that's perfectly okay, because I think each cancer diagnosis and each journey is so different. But I suppose I opened up my world, and all I got back was just so much love and positivity, and I couldn't believe strangers supporting me and sending me messages and saying, I had cancer 10 years ago and I went on to have another baby and you'll be fine. And that's why I started my podcast, because I was like, there is so many positive stories in the world, and I was hearing them day after day after day. And instead of making my world smaller, I opened it up, and it was the best thing I ever did. Yeah.
What was the best bit of advice, Georgie, that you got at the time when you were going through all of this?
Oh, God, that's such a great... I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that, Andrew. to just believe. Believe that you're going to be okay. And I mean, there's some horrible... I remember looking at my face, you know, when I lost all my hair in the mirror, and just thinking, like, who is this person? Like, it's weird, but like when you think of yourself, if you know, will I ever get cancer in my life? And you imagine yourself being an older person. So to look at my young face in the mirror was just the worst of the worst. But I did trust and I did believe. And I suppose the greatest thing that I did was I turned my attention back to myself, and I didn't take my health for granted. And I said, what can I do today to make myself better? One day at a time. And I just did that, you know, every day.
Every day. Chloe, what was the best advice do you remember over the past 10 years, or back 10 years ago, I should say, when you got your diagnosis?
Yeah, I was obviously quite young at the time. So similar to Georgie, like, I didn't know anyone in my peer circle or wider circle, really, who had undergone cancer treatment. So I was just shown so much support by my family, and I've said this in previous interviews, the best advice that I got at the time was from my auntie, who was a doctor previously, and she said, you know, Chloe, everyone goes through difficult times in their life, and unfortunately you've hit one of those bumps quite early in the road, but just know everyone will have that time in their life where they'll experience a very difficult moment. So that kind of helped me in a strange way. So for me, like, that is one of the standout moments in my diagnosis and in my treatment, was just having that support from my auntie and that belief that, you know, okay, this has hit me hard right now at a young age, but I'll get through it and someone else will unfortunately have to suffer this at another time. But mine has come quite early, you know, and I'm going to fight this and come out better, hopefully.
Well, the fact that you're both, you know, here today, and not just today, but I know on many occasions, raising awareness, talking about your diagnosis, sharing your stories as well. And I know, Georgie, you do that too on a very regular basis. But it is a great help for people listening, I'm sure, today, as you said, Georgie, coming back maybe from a hospital appointment, whether that's from radio treatment or chemotherapy. But two really positive, incredibly strong women with us here today on the show. Chloe Moustaki, Georgie Crawford, thanks a million to you both for sharing your experiences with us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.